Welcome to Women Waken, a podcast that helps you heal spiritually from trauma in relationships, childhood, and early life conditioning to shift from a place of codependency into a divine feminine state of love, harmony, abundance, and joy. On Women Waken, we begin the journey to waken from the illusion of needing to prove our worth into the divine experience of knowing our worth. I'm your host, Whitney Walker. I'm a licensed mental health therapist, and I specialize in substance abuse, addiction, eating disorders, trauma, and spirituality. I'm also a fellow human being who has experienced most of the issues that I explore on this show. On today's very special guest episode, because today we're recording this on International Women's Day. Of course, I believe every day is Women's Day, a special day for women to step into their power, to rise up in their energy and know their worth. Yet, I'll take a day to acknowledge it and commune with my ladies. And today I got to commune with an especially wonderful, gifted, divine being, the lovely Rukmani Kaur. Rukmani is an alchemist and a wisdom keeper. Her specialty is spiritual awakening support and guidance. She helps sisters to remember to awaken their power and gifts. So you know that her and I are two birds of a feather. We have such an amazing and moving conversation, looking into everything from Kundalini rising, spiritual awakening process, surviving and rising from the dark, and we even tap into our connection to the Arcturians. And if you don't know who they are, then you definitely need to take a listen. So take a listen and enjoy. Hello, Rukmani. Welcome to the Women Waken podcast.
Thank you, sister. Such an honor to be here.
So wonderful to be gathering on International Women's Day.
I know.
Can you believe it? I didn't even realize that when we scheduled it.
Yeah, me neither.
And you look absolutely fantastic. You are just reveling in that energy of the powerful female because you have this amazing crown. Can you describe it? Because it's a very unique crown.
Yeah, so it has like the moon sign, and at the center, there's a moonstone. So right before, maybe 30 minutes before, an hour before, I was writing this post about how proud I am of the woman that I am right now, you know, but at the same time, literally being so proud of all the younger versions to suffer, all the younger versions that like cried or screamed or was confused, but also her bliss, you know, because she led me to who I am. And I was tearing up on that, and I was just feeling called to like wear something that is Peruvian because that's where I'm from. And then I saw my crown, like, hey, I want to be part of this. I'm like, of course, you know, we're celebrating all of me. So, all right, let's go for it.
Oh my goodness. That is so beautiful. And I love that you're bringing that energy into this conversation. And, you know, I can really feel that, Rukmani, from you. You're an alchemist and you're a wisdom keeper. And I sense that. And I didn't realize that your origins were Peruvian. And that is such a powerful place on this planet. Would you mind sharing a bit about that? What does that mean to you? What has Peru meant to you? What have you felt there? And do you feel that that's played a part in you being this alchemist and wisdom keeper? Because that's one of the few countries I visited in South America. And it was the only time I felt connected to this ancient, and I was younger, but I was like, there is something that's not like the rest of the world. It's not like this modern day. There's something interesting I'm feeling.
Thank you so much. And as you were asking all these questions, like I had like many chills run through my whole being. And yes, so my lineage comes from the indigenous part of the central of Peru. So it's the Quechua culture. My great grandma and my grandpa spoke Quechua. My great grandma didn't speak Spanish, but it just got lost as my mom was growing up and my uncles and my aunts. And then also from the rainforest. So there's this beautiful, now it's not such a small town, but it's called Moyobamba, right at the entrance on the rainforest in the north of the country. That's where my grandma is from my dad's side. And it has so much power, you know, it's so much culture in the way that you actually get to be with nature. So growing up, you know, I grew up also in a farm. That was my puppy.
I
My
saw it. It's
apologies.
precious. Oh no, no apologies. Puppies are very much encouraged on this show.
Yay. So growing up, you know, I grew up on the farm. We have a farm in the mountains of Lima. But I got lost, you know. I was so confused with my gifts and everything that I was able to tap into as a kid. And long story short, I lost my roots when I moved to the States, and I moved when I was 15 and I didn't speak English. So the whole journey of tapping into my own shadows led me in allowing my spiritual awakening to just unfold, led me to move to Thailand. And I met amazing communities there, which led me into the Philippines. And honestly, that's how I came back to the roots. I received a message while I was leading my very first mushroom ceremony, psilocybin journey. And it said, it literally said, March 31st of 2019, be in Machu Picchu. And I was like, okay, you know? And honestly, my parents like worked so hard for me and my brother not to live in Peru as adults. And so coming back to Peru was very, very challenging because I had to face all my traumas. But through that, you know, I was living in Cusco with my boyfriend. And there's so much power there because Cusco used to be the capital of the Incan Empire of the Tahuantinsuyo, you know? So they have also, we have grids, like four different sites or areas of the Tahuantinsuyo that led to Cusco, and everybody will come there to exchange, to learn, and things like that. So it's like such a powerful center, energetically speaking, especially for awakening. And that just like took me to my knees. It took me to my knees. I surrendered to the experience of me being who I am, but at the same time, to tap into the wisdom of the rainforest, the wisdom of the mountains, the wisdom of like the lake, because we have a lake in between Peru and Bolivia, and the wisdom of my roots, you know, coming back and learning Quechua, because I didn't know why for years my being was saying learn Quechua, and I'm like, okay, maybe it's because I'm from Peru, but then come to find out years later that my grandpa spoke Quechua, you know. So and really figuring out where my roots came, you know, from Peru, and it does this so. I find that it's so gentle too, like the energies of the mother there, you know, and also the energies of the rainforest. When somebody's so ready to experience themselves, or they just have this kind of tiny little question, you know, or a little opening to be like, maybe I could actually experience something. Maybe I'm willing, you know, maybe I'm ready. And those energies there, and I find this energy so powerful in South America and in Asia, literally in the same, the same level. It's wonderful. It's wonderful because it's not just my lineage, you know, it's our lineage. The rainforest is in us, just like the mountains are, just like the water is, the ocean, the lakes. So the more that we surrender to, I find this through our roots, you know, like where we come from to that land, that it takes us into the whole experience of humanity and beyond, you know, this experience too.
Gorgeous. Thank you so much for sharing that unique journey and experience. And I'm just looking at you and this tapestry you have in the background. And I just really see you in almost like a past life or ancient times where life was much more like that rainforest you described in South America, where it's like you hear like the whispers of Mother Earth, of Gaia, of all of it. And so I'm so grateful that you're here with us today and this day and age to bring the wisdom. So Rukmani, can you share? You specialize in spiritual awakening support and guidance. And for our theme for the International Women's Day, you also help sisters to remember to awaken to their power and gifts. So could you share a bit about how did you come into these abilities? How did you recognize that you're an alchemist? And I know you've described a little bit because of your background and where you traveled and places in the earth that just elicited and illuminated those gifts, but how did you come to recognize maybe this is what I have to offer as my gift to the world, as my service in the world.
So honestly, it was a lot through plant medicine. And so my Kundalini energy woke up in 2016 during a Kundalini yoga teacher training. And I was very grateful that I knew what was happening, even though part of me didn't really understand it. And I was also very grateful that I had the opportunity. I mean, I left a life behind, honestly. I was married. We had puppies, which were our children. You know, I had my whole community in Las Vegas, my parents, my family, and just it became too much for me to actually allow my spiritual awakening to expand in Las Vegas, because it was bringing me to my knees, but it was also showing me all the shitty things that I had done, honestly, to myself, to my ex-husband, you know, to people. And I at that moment, I believe I didn't have the courage to look at them while I was healing. So I left, and I left after 2 deep years of just immense shadow work in Las Vegas and just coming to the realization I have to leave. I moved to Asia, and I was probably in somewhat of isolation for 3 years, just healing. And not just like, what I mean like that is my inner world. I mean, I had suffered from anorexia, bulimia, suicidal tendencies. I mean, anxiety, depression for pretty much my whole life until that point. And so I didn't really know that it was all inwards, because nobody told me that until I was going through my spiritual awakening. And I had to surrender, you know, because I trusted that something bigger than me was happening. And while this whole spiritual awakening was happening, you know, I tapped into my sight and understanding the language of my energy, and not just like my energy itself, but the energies of my physical body, you know, of my organs, of my aura. And so through that, it was really surrendering to my own darkness while being guided through my own energies to do the shadow work. And I remember that I will think like, you know, I either do this or I will still be in a way suffering in the same cycle. So I went for it, you know, and I have this personality that I just go for things and I go full force. You know, I don't go just a little bit. I'm like, all right, let's go for this. And it was in the moments that a lot of times I couldn't figure out myself that I will do plant medicine. And most of the time was psilocybin. And psilocybin just had this way of showing me deeper in my own energetics and showing me what had to be in place, while at the same time tapping into different versions of myself for what we call past lives, and also, you know, from other worlds, you know, other realms. And so it was so trippy, but it's so beautiful, you know. And also working with Mami Aya, and I surrender deeply to plant medicine. For me, they're one of my biggest teachers, and like the whole wisdom that they have, you know, that is for us, that is here for us to help us through this journey. And through one of those journeys, you know, that showed me how much I work with the energetics, and not just that, but at the same time, what a deep portal I am of consciousness. Because I surrender, you know, I know that when I'm channeling, it's not me, it's something bigger than me, but I learned to surrender through my whole experience, because it was either I believe that this is really great and it's happening for my greatest good, or I believe that I'm going crazy. And I didn't want to believe that I was going crazy, you know? And it was through one of those experiences showing me this whole existence and other existences that I have been working with energy for so long and helping others. And that's when I heard, like, you know, you are the alchemist, especially the heart alchemist, you know, and this is what you do. And I remember many times through my journey just going like, how do people do this alone, you know? Because I mean, yes, I have this personality that I could do it, but that's because at the beginning of my awakening, I didn't know how to talk about it. And I will talk to my ex-husband, but he had no idea how to help me. My teachers had no idea how to help me. And so I had to figure out it myself. And I just went into, we have so much power. As women, we have so much power. There's so much power in the womb. There's so much power in the throat. There's so much power in our hearts, like in everything about us, you know. And that was my experience through my whole journey of spiritual awakening. And realizing, you know, yes, I had been so low to the point that I wanted to end my existence, but I went through this whole journey, and I believe deeply it was to show the way to other sisters, because there's so many sisters out there that are still, you know, in perhaps in similar situations where I had been in, not really knowing that there's an unlimited power inside of us. You know, that is literally the whole existence, life itself. And so from that moment on, I was like, you know, I gotta do something with these gifts because they're not mine. And I believe, like, I remember them for other sisters, particularly, you know, because I'm having a female experience, right? And I went through all of that myself. And so it's a gift, you know, like to see every sister when somebody comes and has a call with me, to see we work together, and just then also seeing how deep they will go, you know, because they know the area of suffering, and they're willing to do whatever it takes to remember themselves. And just to do that is priceless, honestly.
It is. It truly is. And it is really remarkable when you connect with that sensation within, that there's infinite access within to, we're so free and we're so connected and we have such potential. And, you know, we have similar journeys, Rahmani, and I was grateful that you shared about your challenges with self-destruction. Through bulimia, through an eating disorder, through those sort of means. And I think that when those of us who go through that, whether you call it like going to the underworld, the shadow self, the dark night of the soul, where you just kind of lose touch with that knowing, and it really is fascinating how we do that here and why. Why do we forget? Some people claim, and I think I agree, that we do it for a reason, almost like to challenge ourselves as a soul. Like, how do you remember your full power and ability when you've completely disconnected and forgotten and don't know? How do you allow yourself to reclaim? And that's a big word for me this year that keeps coming up, reclamation. People are reclaiming their lost selves, their discarded selves, where they said, I'm worthless. And so I'm going to stay in this place of self-criticism and self-destruction. But then I think that's the awakening that's happening on our planet is, wait a minute. I am just as much a part of the divine as everyone else around me. I have this beautiful spark, this beautiful essence within me that is meant to be shown and expressed. And when you tap into that, you realize that we're all meant to do that together. And I like to say that it's a mosaic of all of, like, the mosaic of humanity is all of us learning that it's okay to show our true selves, let our true light shine, and then we're having this whole different experience. Yet, to your point, there is something so profound about the feminine in our existence here. All of our lights matter, but the feminine light hasn't been allowed to show the most. It's been the most hidden. It's been the most repressed. It's been the most like, no, that's that we don't need that. We need all the more masculine. And that's how we've created the systems that we have in place. And we're at this great time of change. But the change really happens when women aren't just saying that they know their power, they know it. They know it, and then they just inherently embody it, and then things just naturally shift because we're going to realize, why did we ever do things this way for so long? They don't work. We're all suffering. We're all disconnected from our true selves, from our heart center, from our soul. It sounds so much better to be on my soul's path. And to me, that's where the divine feminine can guide us, is that remembrance, which is, you're not what you do, it's what you're being.
And it's just I mean, there's a deep pain in the consciousness of the feminine. Part of my journey was seeing what had happened to us in the past. Women being cut in their throat, you know, just being killed, being, yeah, murdered, being raped, the same thing with children, right? Like, we didn't matter just because we were so tapped in into our power, right? So what we call the witches, right? And even like, yeah, high priestesses, right? And there's a lot of indigenous cultures, they actually had to run away when all these things were happening, you know, and that's what happened to the Quechua people in Peru. So they had to like seclude themselves in the mountains. And it was after like so long that they were ready to come out and share their wisdom again, because it was safer then, you know. But before, I mean, there is, you know, in our story as women, like a lot of people went to like the high priestesses of the women that were the medicine women, right? To ask questions, to ask for solutions. And when things began to shift, it was like, okay, we are the ones that are in danger because of our wisdom, because then other people were scared that we could see things, which we could, you know, and we actually can. When we wake up to our gifts, we can see that. But I think because of our story, right, what has happened, then we can have more compassion to, you know, the other aspect of the masculine, because the masculine is also suffering, you know, it's not just the feminine. Because we are together. Like the feminine cannot function well without the masculine. The masculine cannot function well without the feminine. And so once we begin to see that compassion, you know, and also feel the love for the masculine in the way that we can see them, you know, in their highest way, not in the way that at times they act, you know, it can really shift consciousness pretty quickly.
It can. And I'm a big proponent of that as well, because I know so many of us do, and I often do get caught up in that sense of, we look around our world and we say, man, things feel like such a mess. And how is this ever going to change? And everything, this powers that be are so strong, and the way that things are so strongly rooted, it just seems. Yet, you know, I've heard the concept that you don't have to have an entire 100% change for a revolution to happen. You just need to hit critical mass. You need enough people to shift their beliefs and their desire for what they want. And then all of a sudden it just becomes, I mean, change can happen overnight. Mm-hmm. And you can see it in the history books. Mm-hmm. And I believe in that right now. And I believe that what we, and it's funny because I've gotten really into the dragon. It's the year of the dragon. Mm-hmm. And I've really just stepped into that because I feel it. And what I love about the idea of the dragon is it's believing in the impossible. Mm. That's the power of the dragon to me, because people say, well, dragons are mythical creatures. And I disagree. I say that they very much existed or still exist in other dimensions, but they were very much a part of our world, just in at a different time. Mm-hmm. And it's about believing in the impossible, but also having unapologetically believing in your own power.
Totally.
For good, right? Yes. For the greater good. And that's, to me, like what the feminine is believing that you will take a stand and you'll move forward with your gifts because you know that it's of the benefit for all. And it does away with that sort of too masculine idea of, yeah, but what about, you know, who's on top and who's winning and who's the most powerful? It takes away that and it says, no, how are we all empowered?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the feminine is so gentle. So of course it can be like very like in your face, but most of the time it's so gentle, you know, and it is a ripple effect when we begin to wake up, right? And that doesn't mean that we're not going to go through feeling anger for what has happened, right? I mean, come on, we were killed, right, for our gifts, right? There is that fear of tapping into our gifts, because in the consciousness of the feminine, like we were killed because of that, right? So we could go for that, but like knowing that that's not going to last forever, right? And surrendering to like, yes, it happened, it was part of our story, but it's no longer here. And now we are being reborn in a different way, right? But still with the same power that we had held for so long, right? For Lemuria, Atlantis, and even other dimensions, right? They're still alive. They're still helping us to remember. And because we are all connected, one remembers something, and then on the personal consciousness of the other being, then that other being also remembers it, perhaps not as upfront as a person that just remember, right? But it's a beautiful ripple effect, like you were saying, you know, if one begins to change, and the change can happen overnight if we just allow it to. And there's so many of us that are feeling that call, right? And are feeling the sensations of like, we got to do something, and the change starts with us. You know, it's not about pointing fingers, because we've been pointing fingers for so long, right? And what has that done? Like maybe wars, even wars, destruction and all of that, right? So now it's about, all right, how do I take a deep breath into my own being and surrender to my inner world, you know, my yuckiness in a way, feel all those feels, that will lead me into my power.
And it's such a beautiful journey, although challenging at times. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think it's so important for people to speak right now and to come together, because we all are needing support. Yes. More than ever, I feel like it's coming together in that way. There's more people supporting each other. Cause I know like you and I, we went through our dark night on our own. We got mm-hmm. lost, and it sounds like that was your experience. And I know that was mine. I suffered from an eating disorder for 15 years and was alone in my suffering. I mean, I made it known. I was very, you could see it. I expressed it through anger, through frustration. I didn't know how to channel it, but I feel more than ever it's people are noticing it quicker and saying, like, I feel this heaviness. I feel this being pulled down by something that I know isn't true. That's not really me. And there's more people who are there to say, like, I hear you. Let me help you. I can offer something to help you out of this. And I don't know, I'm just getting the sense that it's not as deep and hidden as it used to be. It's becoming more and more to the surface, so that more people can just be like, all right, I see you. You fell out of the boat. Let's get you back in. We're going to, you know, and then we're all going to rise together. So that's an exciting, exciting thing. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to be able to offer that to people who feel like, gosh, am I always going to feel this way? Am I always going to feel lost? And then, mm-hmm. so I would be curious, you know, you work with people on their spiritual awakening process. And that's basically what I'm describing is, you know, the people that reach out to me who listen to my podcast are those who are just, a lot of them are, many are on their path, but some are just realizing, like, wait a minute, is there really something to this spiritual thing? Because I'm starting to, like, have certain intuitions, certain senses, weird mm-hmm. synchronicities. What is this? How do you help people with that spiritual awakening process?
So I work with the elements, because we're all made out of elements. And the first thing that I ask, there's like, when we start working together, there's a whole questionnaire about how you connect with the earth, how you connect with your physical body, your breath. So, you know, going back to the basics, right? The earth element is our physical body. Without this physical body, we wouldn't be here in this experience. So it's one of the most important elements, as well as water. You know, like whenever we begin to see like the earth and water, right? This is how things grow, as well as the sun, which is the fire, right? But the water is your emotions and the relationship with yourself and others. And the air is, you know, your thoughts, but at the same time, breathing, right? How you speak as well about yourself, about others. Your fire is your soul and your own calling. And of course, there's the ether, all the spaces in between and everything that is and will ever be. So we work with balancing out those elements. And I do an energy reading, because energy doesn't lie. So whatever really needs to come up front and get your attention will be what is being read. So in the energy reading, I say everything out loud and we talk about what's very present and we begin to work through those things. Yeah. Not knowing that like there's something wrong with the person, you know, it's just, there's so many things that can take play when somebody's feeling unbalanced, you know, and it's not just about your personal story, but also about ancestral story, right? Something that has been passed on from generations upon generations to get to you. And so a lot of times they have no idea that's what's happening, you know, like this whole, you know, the bulimia anorexia, there's a big connection with the mother, you know, because you are disconnecting from your physical body, which the physical body is also Mother Earth, right? Disconnecting because you didn't feel you were loved with your mother and things like that. So then learning how to accept your physical body, learning how to nurture your physical body in your own way with your own water, right? With your own emotions. Knowing that it's safe for you to feel your emotions, then you can work through many things, right? And with your breath, because a lot of times when something really intense is happening in spiritual awakening, we're not breathing, you know, we're hyperventilating, or we stop the breath, or it's just like super duper shallow. And so the more that we can breathe deeply into anything that is happening in spiritual awakening, and off of that, if there's anything off spiritual awakening, then, you know, you are present, you know, and things, the energy just pass like no big deal, you know? So the more that we are stuck in, for example, somebody's going through a really deep experience of their wound space, and their wound space is in pain and they're trying to figure out how to heal it, right? The more that you are in the suffering state without breathing to it, without opening up the communication to her, because everything in your being speaks. And if you speak to it, just like we're speaking right now, then he knows, you know, consciously, he knows, like, hey, you are trying to pay attention to me, great, because I've been trying to communicate with you. And through that, you know, there's a deep opening of channels of healing. So then you go back into balanced state, you know. But that's the most important thing is the elements. You know, how are your elements doing? How is your emotions with yourself? How do you talk to yourself? How do you think about yourself? How do you eat? Do you move your physical body? You know, and I give a lot of practices to balance them out. But there's a lot about also about coaching and integration, which integration is super important. You know, like you can do a lot of shadow work, but then if you have no idea what to do after with all the openings that got created within your being, then you can, it's easy to go downwards, you know? So we talk about also, how are you feeling? You know, what's present with you? The same thing with the gifts, right? About some people begin to channel, some people begin to speak light language, some people begin to just like hear thoughts, right? And have different visions. Okay, how does that make you feel? And then how is that also balancing or unbalancing your elements? It really depends from person to person, right? Because we can have an experience that is very similar, but because the story, the personal story is not similar, it's going to be completely different.
Yeah. Wow. I know there's so many people who needed to hear that. That was really strong information and offering. Thank you so much for that. And then how would you share about the work that you do with Kundalini rising? And how would you describe that? Because it's a phrase that's thrown around a lot. And I think not many people really understand, what does it mean to have a Kundalini awakening, to experience that Kundalini rising?
I find that that's one of the greatest gifts in humanity, honestly. And so for those that are not, they don't really know what the Kundalini energy is. So there is this energy, which is literally consciousness at the very bottom of your spine. A lot of times it's dormant until something could be like a deep experience. It could be through breath work. It should be all through almost literally dying, right? It could be because you are just so sick with something that is happening in your life and you just want to create change, or you're just really curious about, you know, about your being, or because you've been doing meditation for a long time. So the channels begin to open, begin to clear. So this energy begins to rise. We have a main energetic channel within the spinal column that is called Sushumna Nadi. So if you can call it, you can call it like the main highway of spiritual awakening, but also of our energetics. And then we have the masculine and the feminine energies that move kind of like in a shape of a snake. And so every point where they meet, the masculine and the feminine, that's where one of the chakras are, right? So as an energetic center. So as the energy begins to move, a lot of people don't really feel it as much, you know? I felt it really deeply, like it showed up in my spine and it felt like this really burning sensation and I couldn't move, you know? It was just when all of a sudden my body started to move like a snake, feeling the masculine and the feminine energies. For example, my boyfriend, he didn't feel it like that. He began to see the energies and play with the energies. So it just really depends, right, about your experience. I really do believe that the Kundalini awakens for everybody in spiritual awakening, you know? So as the energy begins to move upwards, it's cleansing your whole being, you know? It's cleansing all the stories that you thought about yourself. It's cleansing all the stuck energy that was there, you know, in how we call it trauma, for example, and also ancestral trauma, right? So like anything that is not the pure essence of your being, anything that is blocking for you to feel your gifts, to tap into the truth of you. And it could be really intense depending of where the stock energy was more, right? So for me, it was a lot in my heart space because, again, I tried to commit suicide many times and, you know, I was just sabotaging my whole life, right? And also my diaphragm. But a lot of people experience a lot of healing in the womb space if they've been molested, right? And not just from this experience, but it has happened to their mothers or their great-grandmothers and et cetera. And so the energy cleanses everything, you know, and because of all that cleanse, this is when we go into the shadow world, right? Because all these things rise up and we feel it so intensely, and then we begin to question ourselves. I thought I was doing the work, you know, I thought I was doing like a great thing in my spiritual journey and meditating and whatever, right? We begin to question because all these conditions are coming up to the surface to be released. And there's a tendency as humans that we like to hold onto our old identities out of fear of the unknown, you know, because it's like, okay, so what would I be if I don't have these things, right? And it's totally normal, you know, like totally normal. All my clients go through that. I went through that, you know? And so, yeah, it begins to cleanse as it moves upwards. And it really depends, again, like where the energy is more stuck, then it begins to cleanse that energy in the chakra and all these things, and then continues to move. But it's a beautiful process, you know? You realize many things. I realized that my physical body is alive, actually, and it like speaks, you know, when I, and this is also why deep healing happens when you get out of your own way. So when you, if some of you have gotten into a trance-like state, for example, through plant medicine, you know, and it's almost like you cannot do anything about it. And this is where deep healing happens because your being knows what to do in order to release energy.
Wow. And then, so is this experience, is it something that just happens once? Like you have this Kundalini awakening and it goes like all, it's like a full complete one, or can you have like a little bit, like, can you feel it like in certain regions? Can you have multiple different times where you're having that sensation of that Kundalini rising?
Totally. Totally. You know, it's not like it just happens like this and all of a sudden you are like enlightened and like nothing messes you up and brings you out of balance, you know? And plus we are also humans. And so we have to remember that we will go through the ups and downs. We have this big feelings, right? And so that's not gonna, you learn how to deal with that in a way, right? To be balanced. But yes, it happens all over, you know, wherever it is that your being needs the most to remember yourself and remember your gifts, that's where it goes first, and then a little bit into another part, and it continues to rise up, you know. So yeah, it's not just it happens once, it just like happens continuously in different aspects of your being.
And this may be a strange question, but I want to run this by you, because somebody once told me that this was part of a Kundalini rising experience. Can you experience it with another person in intimacy? Because one time I was intimate, I was having sex with my boyfriend, and I felt something I'd never felt, which is like from, you know, the sacral where we're connecting, just up through my body. It was almost as if his energy came into me, like his whole energy. And it was just this rising, and then I burst into tears. It was just this very powerful sensation. Is that aligned with it?
Totally, totally. I mean, this energy is a deep energy of love, right? So when you're like, when you're having intimacy, you know, and you're having sex with your partner, there's like a deep love that gets shared, right? Like you are, like he is in you, and then you're also in him. And it's just like this beautiful connection and exchanging of energy. So by that deep surrendering and feeling safe and then feeling so loved, the energies also rise up, because then his energy of safety and love is also helping you to move some kind of energies within you.
Yes. And it shows you just how powerful and how much more it goes beyond just the physical, because goodness knows that I have not experienced that in every sexual encounter, right? There's definitely people I've slept with where there wasn't any of that going on. It was just purely physical, sacral, right?
Right.
That connection down there. And it's so fun, but it was such a different experience. And it's just a tiny taste of what actual powers exist around us, within us, that we have to experience. We just scratch the surface of so much as humans. Our potential is enormous, and really it's infinite. And again, that's what I love about this time. I mean, goodness knows that we've had, you know, back in ancient civilizations, they had more of this, but in our present time, we've disconnected so much. And again, we believe that like so little is possible, and we have like this tiny amount of power, but those experiences make you realize, I've had that in other ones where I get the briefest sense of this enormous power around me that's within me and around me. And I think, my gosh, is that what this is? Is that what life is, this force? And I think it is.
Yeah, it's honestly, being alive at this moment in time is precious. It's so precious, you know, and of course, we can awaken deeper parts of ourselves with our partners. You know, this is what Tantra Yoga is about, right? So it's really beautiful to be able to share that journey with somebody else. And so I honor all of you that are listening, because it's not very easy at times, right? But the fact that you're doing it means that you deeply love yourself. And this is why it's happening. You know, again, going back to the energies of awakening, it's deep love, it's existence itself, it's consciousness, you know, it's all love. And so you are loving yourself over and over and over again, going against, you know, maybe whatever people told you, right? To be you, to have the courage to be you, and to release all the facades and the walls and whatever, and get to know yourself so deeply that you're just like madly in love with yourself. Honestly, I had these experiences and just by myself, you know, of that energy that you were talking about as having intercourse, right? Just with me, with like not doing anything, you know, and it's wonderful to know that we can get to love ourselves to such a deep way that our energies just know and it begins to move, it begins to rise, it begins to really connect us to like beyond this existence with other beings, with other versions of yourself. And beyond that, with like nothing really. And this is like one of the things that a lot of people like question when they come to me. It's like, yeah, well, you know, I feel all those things, but at the same time, I feel like I'm nothing. And it's such a like paradox, but we are energy, right? And so this is why at times it like feels like that, because like the energies are waves also of like sounds. And it's just, and this is all what the light language is, you know, are waves of sounds that, because we speak in through the mouth, it gets translated in some kind of way to do the work that it needs to do. I mean, it's just, I love this whole experience, and particular, of course, after spiritual awakening and realizing the depth of our power and our connectivity. And then we can all do it. You know, I really believe that it's our birthright to do it, to experience that. And one of the reasons where we come here to help everybody else remember, so they're no longer suffering, so that we're not like killing each other or pointing fingers or saying nasty things to one another, but knowing that once we kill each other or we're saying yucky words to one another, we're saying that to ourselves too. And it's coming back to us like tenfold, you know? And so the more that like we come back into the space of like, I am deep love. I am this beautiful portal of like so much amazing energy and so much power, and so are you. So then it's like, I cannot harm you because I'm also you and you're also me.
Completely. And that's what it can be really challenging at this time, because there's so much divisiveness and it's so encouraged in a lot of ways. And I don't in any way want, because I don't believe in putting down other people's stance. Certain people believe that you have to fight for what you want and push for it. Yet I just fundamentally feel down to my soul that when you try to point the finger at someone else and claim that it's all their fault and they're all to blame, it's just what you said. They are you and you are them. We're all in this together. And the more we rage against something, the more power we give it and take away from our connection. When you rage against something, you're trying to deny what's undeniable, which is that there's no you versus me. We're all one. And so it is a hurdle. And I think it's the one that we're going to be overcoming, because we're going to realize that all the force in the world we can't write things through fight, through violence, through all of that. And again, I don't want to argue with people, you know, I don't believe in engaging in those kind of discourse, because it's human. We believe that we're human, and it's the human experience to think that we have to tangibly shift and make things happen rather than just surrender and come together. That's considered woo or whimsical, and that's okay, you know, everything in its own time. But I think what we're realizing is we're going to hit this shift where we realize it really isn't effective.
Yeah. And at the same time, you know, we're all having our own experiences. We all have our beliefs, and it's okay to disagree on our beliefs. You know, to honor somebody's journey, whether for you that's like, it's like, wow, that's just wild, you know, because at the same time, maybe the other person is saying the same thing about you, right? and honor. And this is about also communication in the air element, you know, being able to speak about the most uncomfortable things, but with respect and love. Honoring, okay, you believe that, great. If you believe that that's true for you, that's not true for me. And for in my perspective, that hurts me. But if that's your belief, cool. As long as you don't come and begin to like put your own beliefs onto me and preach me about whatever it is, I'm okay with that, you know? But the fact is like, we got to learn to communicate in a nice way to one another. Not to like fight about it, not to like push my beliefs onto you or you onto me. It's like, we're going to believe what we're going to believe based on our experience and what happened in our story. And that's not going to be the same for everybody.
Yes, absolutely. And I think with along with not telling people that their beliefs are wrong, it's I just feel that anytime that hate is involved, believing that we can hate somebody else because they believe this or they support this, it's just pushing away the one thing that we say we want, which is people, because most of us have beliefs because we believe that they are the answer to what will bring us greater peace, greater equality, greater quality of life. And yet people aren't able to see that discrepancy, that you can't try to tell people what the only direct way towards that is, and then at the same time hope to experience that.
There's a great book by Don Miguel Ruiz, and it's The Mastery of Love. And so one of the parts of this book says, imagine that you come into a world where everybody's sick and you cannot touch them because they have a lot of emotional poison. And then he says, this is how our world is, you know, we have a lot of emotional wounds. And what we tend to do is to poke at those emotional wounds over and over and over again in ourselves and in others, right? And when he talks about, you know, awakening, it's like, remember that, imagine that just one day you woke up and you could touch your skin. You could touch yourself without hurting. And then, but then nobody else is happening, you know? And then people come to you like, what are you doing? How are you able to touch yourself when I'm like, that's too painful for me? And again, like we were talking at the beginning, you know, it's a ripple effect. Then people see like what you're doing and they're curious about it. And then it begins to spread and however it wants to spread the energies, you know? But the thing is that like, that's what it is, you know, as humans, we are sick in some kind of way, but learning that we don't need to be sick, that we have the power to, in a way, unsick ourselves, right? And remember that we have the power inside of us to be happy, to not hurt anymore. And by that, we're also not hurting anybody else, but we're also helping them in their journey.
Beautiful, completely. And that's exactly my comprehension, is that the only reason we're sick is because we engage with it. It's like we're keeping ourselves chained, and we're saying, why am I so chained up? And we're free to unshackle ourselves. We're only sick because we're plugged in to this source that keeps us sick. And that's just what you said. I saw that in a vision once, and my vision was, it was at like a big concert, like a festival, and everybody was at one stage, like really zoned in and connected to the stage. But then someone else there was another stage and music started playing, and it was lighter and it was brighter. And one person went, even though everybody was at this other stage, and it seemed like everybody would always stay there because it was the place to be. But one person went, and then another person looked and said, "That, what is that?" And they went, and before you knew it, everyone had gone to this new place. And I see that just as you described, where more and more people are going to start unplugging themselves from the sources that keep them sick. And they're going to say, why did I do that? And they're going to leave. And more people are going to look and say, just as you said, how are you not? You're not sick. You look radiant. You're happy. Your life is working out for you. And they're like, yeah, because I'm not doing that stuff that didn't work for me.
Yes.
And we're going to, all of a sudden, I swear, I had this vision also, in a few hundred years, we're going to be like, how did that happen? What the heck was that all about?
Totally.
We spent in this, you know, total misery, and we were all so dysfunctional and unhappy and self-destructive. What madness.
Totally. Wow. Those are beautiful visions. And yeah, it's like the remembrance, you know, that the ripple effect, right? You
yes.
love yourself, you take care of you, and then it shows. And a lot of people, and not just by what you say, whatever, you know, nowadays we post in social media, right? But your actual presence, like your energetics, right? So we have the aura that extends 12 feet in every single direction. So if you're very radiant and you're very confident, the moment that you step into a room, somebody in the opposite side of the room feels your energy. It's like, whoa, like, who are you? You know? And so it's a beautiful thing, because then it's like, you are this massive energy of light and love that comes in, and you're showering everybody with it. And then they get to experience that. It's like, whoa, what was that? And then they become curious, right? And this is, again, how beautiful energies get exchanged, and then beautiful conversations happen.
Yes, yes, yes. I love it. Oh my gosh, I could totally see it as you're describing that. And how appropriate for International Women's Day is that. That's how I love to empower women, is to tell them, listen, you have, like, just, I was visualizing like this giant ball gown, but it's not physical. It's just your aura. And everybody has it, no matter what you look like or where you come from or what you have that aura with, you don't need anything else. You could be naked out in a field and you still have that freaking aura. And that's how I like to empower women, is what does your aura look like? Own that, work with that. Cause that's what's real. Like you, we are all so powerful. And again, these conditional ways on earth tell us, no, if you're not wealthy, if you're not attractive, if you're not prestigious, you don't have nothing. Mm-mm. And again, I feel like that's the unplugging and the shift, rock climbing, that's going to happen is people are like, wait, I had it all the time. I always had it. And we're going to say, yeah, you do. And that's also, I think, women empower women, is right now it is a bit challenging because there is a lot of competition with women, because we were oppressed for so long and we were killed for so long. And there wasn't much space for many of us to have a voice. So we competed, and now we can feel threatened. But as we learn that we can relax, we can surrender and connect with one another, we get to uplift each other. And then all of us are having these ball gown auras that we're just bringing forward. And it's going to be beautiful.
Yes, with our big crowns.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
woo! Totally. Yeah.
I love it. Mine's like red and yellow. Everybody's
so beautiful.
I want everyone listening to visualize your aura ball gown, just like, just radiating out from you, just flowing across what, you know, environment are you in? Are you in the mountains? Are you in the desert? Are you by the ocean? Like just picturing that, because, oh, I love it.
Yeah, with a staff and like really in your power, in your presence. Yes.
And wearing a crown just like yours. I want one just like that. So her crown is so beautiful, everybody, because it has a moonstone right on her third eye at the center of her forehead, the way that it's draped across her forehead. And it's just beautiful.
Thank you.
So one final thing I would love to touch on before we wrap up is you also speak about our connection with the Arcturians. And I love speaking of them. It's interesting because I've connected with the idea of star seeds about 4 years ago. Was when it was in a dream. I just kept hearing like Pleiadians. And I was like, what's a Pleiadian? Uh-huh. And it turns out I actually have a birthmark on my hip that's literally the Pleiadian constellation. It looks exactly like it. Yeah, the seven sisters. They're like right there on my hip. And like a year ago, I heard the same thing, but it said Arcturian. And I was like, who are they? So I'd love to hear your take on what our connection to the Arcturians means to you.
Wow. What a beautiful question. And it means me, if I can say that. I mean, it's just, I realize that the more that we get away from one identity that we believe that we are actually able to tap into different versions of ourselves and different versions of realities and different versions of star seeds. And some of the most powerful healing has happened to me as I connected with my Arcturian self. And a lot of times, and this is one message that I received today, you know, them and the Pleiadians have been around for so long, just kind of like waiting, almost like gently tapping at your door, you know, like, hey, like, we're here to help you, right? And all you need to say is like, I'm willing to receive the help for my highest good and the highest good of all, right? But it happens so much deeper to connect with them and to listen to them when you are in nature, And that's because nature has this ability of creating portals through which you can actually listen, you know, and go beyond the human sounds and humans and noise, you know, and it takes you so deep into you, the center of your being, which there are many connectors there to other versions of yourselves, so other star seeds, because again, it's all about energies, and there's many like infinite channels. This that goes to one side, one other side, another star seed, another star seed, and so in order to actually listen to them and connect to them, besides just saying yes, I want to, for example, is to be to hear through the sound of nature. And this is a really beautiful exercise to do as well, because nature is constantly sending messages, you know, sending messages to the fields, how the air feels like, to the sounds of the wind, you know, to also like trees and birds and things like that. So the more that you get acclimated to that kind of hearing, then the channels to that connection to your Arcturian self, right, begins to open up. And also that's also through the heart space, through the throat, and through the third eye. And you can see it, you know. So this is one of the wonderful things about awakening, that you open up your third eye, you open up specifically the heart chakra, you know, and many aspects of the heart chakra. Then you connect to other aspects of yourself in different versions, in different realities. They are so intelligent. I mean, the Arcturians are so intelligent and so curious about also like our way of being, but not only that, but connecting us in like, hey, remember this. You know, they're so advanced in telepathy, for example, right? So advanced in like doing things like for others that, you know, our world is asking for, because we've been suffering for so much. But again, this takes back into how much are you willing to believe that, right? Because again, there's a lot in our story that is like, oh my gosh, that's just craziness, and like whoever is gonna believe to that, like the whole alien situation, right? I mean, do you actually believe that we are in this universe just us, you know, whereas it's such a vast universe? I mean, come on, that sounds a little ridiculous to me. So then, you know, like, in changing your beliefs will change also your energetic field, and you are like a radio with so many antennas, right? So there's many antennas that connect you to the Pleiadians, for example, and also the Arcturian self. And if you're just so in it, right, and you're surrendered to that, I truly believe that we will all connect to our Arcturian selves. And that is, again, it starts, in my experience, it started with the heart chakra, because again, the energy of love, right? And again, spiritual awakening, the Kundalini energy is all about love. And the Arcturians love so deeply. And it's a different way of love in a way, you know, because at times we have this like, if you do this, I will love you, right? It's not like you exist, and because you exist, I love you. Doesn't matter what you do. Like, I honor you and I love you so deeply to the point that it brings tears to my eyes, you know? So start with the heart chakra, right? The work starts with you. But know that there's so much help. And yes, from star seeds, but also your ancestors. But the Arcturians are super present, and they're like waiting, you know, waiting for you to say yes to yourself.
What a profound and beautiful description, Rukmani. I really appreciate that. And I love the idea of simply if you people who maybe don't feel as connected to those concepts, that walk in the in woods, the walk in nature, and that sense you get of connection, the idea that that is, you can find a portal of, and even if it just feels like communing with nature, it's what else does that mean? What else could it that what could nature be, you know, also connected with? Maybe it's a portal that's connected with these other beings and we can explore that. I'm gonna go explore that. I've never thought of it that way because I always feel so open and connected in nature and just the sense of love, the sense of love. And that's, you know, could definitely be that energy. Thank you for sharing that.
Of course. And you know, a little tip also, if you do this really early, it's also very easy, because in a way, the city where you live in is asleep still, right? So
Ooh.
then you get to like be more in the stillness. So that's what I do every morning. I go into our backyard and I sit and I listen. And you have to be able, because at times, at the beginning of this practice, maybe your mind is like, okay, where is it? What's the message, right? And you just have to, again, going using the elements, right? Breathe. Breathe, relax the breathing, relax the mind, relax the body, and then relax the ears and hear all the sounds that are happening and go beyond the sounds of the that is present in the humanity, right? So that's a meditation too, to what is the thing the furthest away from you that you can hear, and from there can you go even further? And it takes you, again, there's a deep connectivity here. And again, the Arcturians, the Pleiadians are like constantly sending us messages and waiting, super excited for us to open up that part of the ear.
They are so excited. You can tell. They're like, oh my gosh, they're listening. They're connecting. We've got them. They've been waiting for this for a long time, is how I understand it. Well, thank you so much, Rukmani, for your wisdom, for sharing your ideas and your concepts and about your work. It's been such a beautiful time communing with you on this amazing International Women's Day. If people would like to work with you, if they would like to connect with you, how can they find you?
So you can find me on Instagram. My handle is The Heart Alchemista. So like alchemist, and you just add an A. You can also like go on my website, rukmanicore.com, or email me at info@rukmanicore.com. But I mean, it's much easier to nowadays to connect through social media. And then you can send me a message. We can chat. So I have a 40-minute what I call remembrance call, where we chat. Like I want to know if our energies like feel good, right? If you feel good with my energies too as well, that's super important. And that's how the thinking help, to grow and expand. And that's free. We talk, you share about your journey, I share about how I can help you, if we are to move forward and work together. I also have a 4-day, it's called Spiritual Awakening 101, that is free. You can also find it on my website under Alchemy and My Gift for You. And it explains about a spiritual awakening. It has also different activations and healing journeys to help you through that. One of them is cleansing your womb, if you're interested in that. Yeah, and many tips that I have learned in my journey that have helped me ground it and help ground this energy.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much. And all that info will be in the show notes. Appreciate you so much being on the show.
Thank you.
Have a beautiful day. That wraps up our episode for today. Thank you so much for listening to Women Waken. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others and come back for more. If you'd like to connect with the Women Waken community, you can find us on Instagram at Women Waken. And if you follow Women Waken, you can get a free tarot card reading if you just send a DM. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and don't forget to let your unique light shine into this world.